let's start right there. The Packers. This is a team a lot of people had lofty expectations of, or at least fairly high, because, hey, Aaron Rodgers is still there playing quarterback, and then the season starts the way it did. I mean, if there was ever a game to get them back on track, it feels to me like the Lions team are kind of ripe for the picking. What do you make of that game heading into Monday night?
Yeah, well, guess what? I mean, it was the worst performance that we've ever seen from Aaron Rodgers, literally. If you go back historically, now in year 17, a 35-point loss it was. I was at the game, of course, and it was perplexing to watch. Here's the good news for Packers fans, though, Justin and Brent. I mean, they're 6-0 after a loss, Aaron Rodgers is. 16 touchdowns, no picks after a loss. And he's 8-0, undefeated on Monday Night Football in his career. So I think they're going to be okay. I think they're in good hands. The Lions always play them tough, though. So, you know, divisional games are always great.
Stacey, in terms of teams that need, they're going to be okay talking to, the Buffalo Bills lost week one, and that's kind of a big deal as our sort of associated home team here. What are your thoughts on Josh Allen and the Bills from week one?
Yeah, well, anytime you play Pittsburgh, I think, you know, Pittsburgh always wins. I mean, it's what they do. They're so stout defensively, and, you know, Buffalo will be just fine. Josh Allen's going to see, you know, the blitz-heavy Dolphins this week. He's 4-0 against Brian Flores, you know, their head coach, if that means anything to Buffalo fans out there. And it does to me, guys, because I grew up in Brockville, Ontario, and my dad is like a diehard Bills fan. So I think Canadians are, you know, always connected to the Bills, especially on the East Coast. So I think they'll be just fine. They've got a stout defense. I like what they added up front, a couple rookies up there, Russo included. And I expect it to be a pretty good game down in Miami. It's going to be hot, though.
Yeah, it definitely is going to be a warm one. You mentioned the Steelers there. It's crazy how a team like that can just kind of have the institutional know-how, the bones of an organization to just constantly stay afloat. I mean, they're maybe the most stable franchise, I guess, outside of New England in the last, I don't know, 30 years of the NFL, it feels like. They've had so few head coaches. When they get a quarterback, they keep them forever. Like, it's amazing to me how a team like Pittsburgh, even when it looks like they're going to have dip years, they're just able to kind of find a way to make it work. It's just such an incredible accomplishment by them.
It really is. It all starts with Mike Tomlin. I mean, he's a guy, just to listen, I sometimes will, you know, just tune in to listen to his pressers. He's so what you see. And defensively, I always say this about Pittsburgh guys, they can carry a team, their defense. When you look at what they have, I mean, you know, Cam Hayward up front and Wormley and you know, on the back end, Joe Hayden and Cam Sutton. I mean, they're just so stout. Minkah Fitzpatrick. I mean, T.J. Watt, obviously the big deal there for him. They're just so stout defensively. And you know, for say what you want about Ben Roethlisberger, but I just feel like you're in good hands when you have a veteran quarterback in this league. So, you know, I think it's a great game this week. They face the Raiders. We saw what the Raiders did on Monday night. They look pretty damn good, right, guys? Like, I mean, Derek Carr looks fantastic. Darren Waller, are you kidding me? I can't even call this guy a tight end, right? Four straight 100-yard games at the tight end position. That's tough to do, right? This guy's all over the field. I think it's going to be a fun, you know, a fun scheme, if you will, to see what Pittsburgh does against them in terms of Keith Butler, their defensive coordinator, and this offense.
For sure. You mentioned you feel like you're in good hands with a veteran quarterback. I want to take that over to Chicago and ask about Justin Fields. What should they do with Justin Fields? What is their plan, and what do you think it should be?
Well, I happen to live, as you guys know, in the Chicago area. So I cover the Bears a lot, and I was actually at the facility yesterday. And, yes, Andy Dalton in year 11 is the starter. But here's what I think will happen, and I say this with great respect for Andy. He's such a great guy, you guys. I mean, I cover this league now. It's my 13th season, humbly, in the NFL. And you just root for guys like Andy Dalton. But here's the thing. If he struggles, if the offense stalls, I mean, they played Sunday Night Football in L.A. against the Rams, the number one defense last year in football with Aaron Donald and company, Jalen Ramsey. They couldn't score in the first half, in the first quarter. They were, you know, they were down 10 already. And so I just think my feeling, my gut feeling, while I don't Nobody knows the plan except those inside Halas Hall where the Bears work out. I think if Andy stalls to the point where they cannot score points, Justin Fields will take over. And I think when he takes over, he'll be there for good. They've got the Bengals this week. They've got the Browns next week. And then the Detroit Lions. Those are all winnable football games for the Bears and all games where we could see a dose of Justin Fields.
Yeah, I think that if you weren't going to just hand him the car keys right away from the start of the season, you do want to find a kind of comfortable landing spot. And you know, maybe it is this week, or maybe it's one of those first or the next three games that you just listed out. But exactly that, I think you're right, that you don't want to be in a position where you're putting him in and then it doesn't go well and you're going back to Dalton. Like, you don't want to do anything to kind of, you know, nick a guy's confidence right as he's coming into the league. You know, I saw you tweeting about the rough in the pass or the penalty in that Packers game. Does the league have a bit of a problem there with that? I mean, you have a guy who did exactly what he meant to do, and then he was so confident he did what he was supposed to do. He went and showed everybody on the team, look what I did. This is within the bounds of the rule. You know, I remember back in my minor hockey days, sometimes guys just get penalties for hitting too hard. It kind of felt like that's what happened there. Does the league have a problem with the roughing the passer penalties, or is this just the kind of typical early season finding the balance point the officials have?
Yeah, great point. Love the hockey reference. My brother played hockey.
I knew you would.
Yeah, I loved it. My brother was a goon, and sometimes you're right. When he hit too hard, he sat in the penalty box. And this is all I chalk it up, guys, to early season. I mean, this is, you know, the velocity of the NFL is just different. When you're standing down there, when I watch, and I always, like last year during the pandemic, we were stuck up in the rafters because of the COVID. So getting to be back down on the field this year, and you stand beside Za'Darius, go up and talk to him pregame, Za'Darius Smith of the Packers, whom you're referring to, and he's a monster, right? And he plays the game violently and with great velocity. So to me, he did everything right. I hope we don't see a Clay Matthews-type situation across the league. You know, the quarterbacks need to be protected because we need to see them, and they need to lead their teams, but there's also a fine line of, these dudes work so hard up front to get to the quarterback, and you can't take away a sack or, in that case, what was an interception for Green Bay.